If thou art offering thy gift before the altar, and there remember thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First, be reconciled unto thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thy neighbor while thou art in the way, lest happily he deliver thee to the judge, and he deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt not come out thence till thou hast paid the last farthing. We have talked about the sacrificial system Randy mentioned it this morning and the meaning of it to us. Before I went to Thailand the last time, I talked about the burnt offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, and the sin offering. Three worship offerings, the burnt offering, the meal offering, and the peace offering, which is a odor of sweet smell unto Jehovah, as it is fumed up to Him off of the altar of burnt offering. There are three sin offerings. They're not sweet savor offerings. They're sin offerings. The sin offering, the trespass offering, and the Day of Atonement. We talked about the sin offering. So this morning I'd like for us to talk about the trespass offering. The Day of Atonement, I don't plan to talk about. But the trespass offering, we want to see who it was to, why it was given, and what it means to us today. The text from which it's taken, you'll find the trespass offering talked about in Leviticus 5, verse 14 to 19, Leviticus 6, 1 through 7, which Brady just read to us, Leviticus 7, 1 through 7, Numbers 5, 5 through 8. These speak about the trespass offering. The trespass offering is built from a strict moral justice. In Exodus 21, verse 24, or Leviticus 24, verse 20, or Deuteronomy 19, 15 to 21, he talks about the justice that is required between brothers. And those are the passages where he says, a life for a life, a limb for a limb, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a burning for a burning, a wound for a wound. Justice was demanded in their social life. As we look at the background of this offering, we see that a trespass against your brother is a sin against God. You can't violate your brother's right without sinning against God. He said in Leviticus 6, verse 2 and 3, which Brady just read, he said, if a man sin and commit a trespass against Jehovah in his false dealing with his neighbor in a matter of deposit or of bargain or of robbery or of oppression to his brother, or if he found anything that's stolen and deal deceitfully with it or swear unto a lie. You notice all these things that we do between our brethren. But he starts out by saying, if any man commits a trespass, if any man sin or commit a trespass against Jehovah. When we wrong our brother, we are committing a trespass and a sin against God. That's what it's talking about in the trespass offering. The trespass offering is usually a violation of the last five of the Ten Commandments. The sin offering was usually for the first five of the Ten Commandments. You'll have no other gods. You'll not make any images. Not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, and honor your father and your mother. Those are sins against God in a spiritual nature. And that required a sin offering. But the trespass offering is more in the social area, where he says in the last five, 6 through 10, he says, Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. That's between us. But those are a violation against God. That's what the trespass offering is basically for. It covers more than that. But basically it's a violation against those five commands, which we do against our neighbor or against one another. This offering is a most holy sacrifice. It's not a odor of sweet smell. Sin is not a sweet smell to God. And to deal with sin is not a sweet smell to God. There becomes a sweet smell at the end of it after atonement has been made. But before atonement is made, there's no odor of sweet smell. This is a holy sacrifice. He'll tell you in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 6. And he'll tell you there that of the male of the priest, all the males of the priest shall eat of it, and it shall be eaten in a holy place, for it is most holy. So it is a holy sacrifice. It is a sacrifice that is given by an individual. There's no commune offering here. There's no offering of the nation. There's no offering of a group of people. It is an individual. We know from the burnt offering, from the meal offering, they were given for the whole congregation every morning and every evening. They were individual sacrifices and group sacrifices, congregational sacrifices. But the trespass offering is an individual thing. No matter how high or how low you are, how rich or how poor you are, how wise or how ignorant you are, there is one individual that makes an offering for his trespass offering. There's only one animal that's given. In the burnt offering and in the peace offering, you can give various animals. A bull is required. Or if you can't afford that, a lamb. Or if not a lamb, a goat. If not a goat, you can't afford that. You can offer a dove or a pigeon. But in the trespass offering, there's only one animal to be offered, and that is a ram. Poverty is no excuse for stealing. Poverty or ignorance is no excuse for violating your neighbor's rights. God requires honesty. God requires justice. He requires that a person's goods, his rights, and his possessions be respected. Usually we think of a trespass offering against a person, but God is a person. So there are trespass offerings against God. There are trespasses against God. In Leviticus 5, verse 15, he's talking about that very same thing, a trespass against God. He said, if any man commit a trespass and a sin unwillingly in the holy things of Jehovah, then he shall bring a trespass offering unto Jehovah, a ram without blemish out of his flock. We can trespass against God. Randy spoke a while ago. The first fruits belong to God. We have nothing that God did not give us. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What makes you different? What have you that you did not receive? And if you received it, why do you boast as though you didn't receive it? Everything we have, our education, our minds, our food, our wealth, everything we have, our talents, is given to us from God, and God says they belong to Him, and He makes us stewards of these things. And the first fruits always belong to God. Don't touch what belongs to God. The first fruits, the tithes, they are given to God. In Leviticus 22, he speaks of a trespass of somebody eating of a holy thing that's offered to God. In the tabernacle, or in the temple that followed that, There's a multitude of offerings being offered daily by a multitude of priests. It's easily in all these sacrifices to pick up something and eat it that was offered to God. God says that's a trespass. That's a sin. That's a sin against God. That's a trespass against God. Joshua chapter 7, we have an incident that was performed by Achan, who took the devoted thing. He took the devoted thing, and that was a trespass against God. Does it have consequences? Ask his family, who were all stoned to death and then burnt because he stole from God. God says Jericho is devoted to God. You don't touch it. You destroy it, everything. Now, after Jericho, God says, now you can take the spoils. Well, why not Jericho? Jericho was the first fruits of the giving of the promised land and all the nations and the cities there. You don't touch Jericho. It's the first fruits. Whether it's your money, whether it's your talents, or whether it's your possessions, the best of it belongs to God. Don't violate that. Possessions that belong to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 22, says there, and in his distress, he trespassed yet more against Jehovah, this same king Ahaz, in that he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Idolatry is a trespass against God. Anything that we put before God, anything that hinders our service to God is our idols. Whether it's our money, whether it's our jobs, whether it's our wives or our husbands, whether it's our children or our parents, anything that stands between us and serving our God is our idol. And it is a trespass against Jehovah God. Malachi 3, verse 8. God says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. And you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and sacrifices, tithes and offerings. What's the penalty? Just a while ago, we made an offering. That is your first fruits. That should be the best of the monetary value that God's given you. He said, you robbed me in tithes and offerings. What's the penalty? Verse 9, he says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, this whole nation. So what's he tell you to do? In verse 10, bring in the whole tithe into my house, to my storehouse, that there will be food in my house. And try me therewith, saith Jehovah of hosts, and see if I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour forth a blessing so that there will not be room to receive it. Don't trespass against God. The first fruits belong to God. But mostly, the trespass offering is how we violate mankind. Our neighbors, our brethren. Well, we're already spoken of in Leviticus 6, verse 2 and 3. If any man sin and commit a trespass against Jehovah in dealing falsely with his neighbor, in the matter of deposit, the matter of bargain, and matter of robbery, if he has found anything that is lost and use it deceitfully or swear to a lie. Those are trespasses against your neighbor. It's a sin against God. God says you have to respect man's rights. He says in there, he's talking about deceiving one another. Deceit is a trespass. Don't forget, any trespass against our brother is a sin against God. To the Hebrew, the trespass against his neighbor, he lost fellowship with God. He was spiritually lost. He had no right to come to the tabernacle or the temple later and offer sacrifices. God says, don't worship me. That's what Jesus said in the first passage we talked about. If you're offering your gift before the altar, there remember your brother has ought against you. Leave there your gift. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. God said, when you're not right with your brother, listen, your prayers, they just bounce off the ceiling. They don't go to God. God says, you get right with your brother first. Then you come and offer your gift. False representation. We have that all around us. In the markets, in the buying and the selling. People represent things falsely to get a bigger price. That's a trespass against your neighbor. When you buy, say, things and force people to sell the thing below their value, that's a trespass against your neighbor. Justice is what God demanded. Stolen property, unpaid debts. He says in Deuteronomy 27, verse 17, cursed, or woe unto him that moves his neighbor's landmark. That's stealing his property. Unpaid debts, Romans 13, verse 8, owe no man anything save to love him. He that loveth his neighbor fulfilleth law. Debtedness is a trespass. When we pass the due date, when a payment is to be made, when that day is passed, we're stealing from the person that loaned us the money or whatever it is. God said you deal justly with one another. In the matter, in Leviticus 19, 13 through 18, he gives a whole list of things. He mentions oppression of the brother. He talks about robbing the hiring people and not paying them sufficiently. That is a trespass. It's a sin against God. He said to curse the deaf or to put a stumbling block before the blind. To misrepresent something. In the middle of that, he said, he that doesn't rebuke a sinner. To not rebuke a sinner is a trespass against the fellow. Jesus agrees that. Luke 17, verse 3. Jesus says, take heed to yourself. If your brother trespass, if your brother sin, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. We are our brother's keeper. Therefore, love demands that we rebuke the sinner so he can straighten out his life. Jesus says, if you don't rebuke him, you're a sinner. You have trespassed against God when you don't rebuke him. In that passage, back in Leviticus 19, he speaks of vengeance. Vengeance belongeth to me, saith Jehovah. I will recompense. All the laws that came through Moses in the Old Testament period of time was for justice, not vengeance. Vengeance belongs to God, not to mankind. He says, bearing a grudge. We don't have to steal from a man. We don't even have to say anything to him. God said, if you bear a grudge against him, you've trespassed against him. That's a sin against God. And he ends that passage in verse 18. That's in Leviticus 19. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If we loved our neighbor or ourselves, it would take care of all those other trespasses. That's the very passage that Jesus uses in Matthew 22, in verse 37 through 40, where the scribe asks him, what's the greatest of the law there is? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. That comes from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. But then he says, the second likened to us, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That comes from this passage right here, Leviticus 19, 18. And when you trespass, restitution and satisfaction has to be made with your brother. Before God accepts our worship. Now we have a big move coming on. Move from this building to another building. There's going to be strife takes place. It's going to be impossible to agree with every decision that's made. I'm not going to like some things that somebody tells me to do. In Genesis 13, we see that Lot and Abraham, they both had herds that were too big. And the herdsmen for Lot and the herdsmen for Abraham were bickering. And in verse 8, Abraham says to Lot, "Let there not be strife among us, I pray thee, between thee and me, between thy herdsmen and my herdsmen. Why? For we are brethren." Roll out the patience. Roll out the love. Roll out the humility. Roll out the service. Don't trespass against your brother in anything. Love thy neighbor as yourself. Whatever you want people to do to you, Jesus says in Matthew 7:12, do unto him. That is what God requires. God requires justice. God requires restitution and satisfaction when a violation has taken place. In Numbers 5, verse 7, he tells you he shall confess the sin that he has done, and he shall make restitution for it in full. And he shall add thereof a fifth part and give it unto him. He says, or if that man's died in respect to the person to whom you have committed the guilt. He says in verse 8, if he has no relatives left, you give it unto Jehovah. And Jehovah gives it to the priest. But it never belongs to us. Whatever it is, whatever the trespass is, if it's stealing, or if I have something I borrowed, or whatever. If you pass the indebtedness date, that is not yours. That's not yours. He says not only that, not only restitution in full, but you have to add a fifth part. That's for satisfaction. You make restitution in returning in full whatever you took or whatever you violated. But on top of that, you add a fifth part. That's 20%. That's a double tithe that you have to give for your transgression. And that restitution and that satisfaction still hasn't made atonement. You see, that's on a man-to-man social basis. It hasn't corrected the spiritual basis between God and man. But that has to be done first. Leave your gift there. First be reconciled unto your brother. Then come off of your gift. Whatever it is, it has to be taken care of on our level before God accepts our worship. It's the point that he's making. Even non-monetary things, such as gossip, such as slander, and things like that. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, 1 through 3, he talks about a man that is guilty of a trespass. He's to be brought before the judge. And if the judge deems him guilty, he's to be laid down before the judge, and he is to be smitten in the presence of the judge with 40 stripes. Now the Jew was afraid of breaking the law, so he gave him 39 stripes. That he not be found vile. All this was for correction, not to make one vow. It's for justice is what God demanded. And if you didn't agree with that, Deuteronomy 17, he'll tell you when you take a matter to before a judge that you can't settle, you take it to the priest who will make a judgment. He makes God's judgment. And he says you'll abide by that judgment, and he that doesn't abide by that judgment is to be put to death. Justice and right treating of our brethren is essential before God. Now, when restitution and satisfaction has been made, then you offer your gift to God. That's taken care of in about six steps that we've talked about in all the others. There's the presentation. Then there's the confession of his sins. Then there is the slaying of the animal. The person that offers it has to slay it himself. That means he agrees with God's judgment on himself. He is the sinner. The wages of sin is death. But he puts that sin on an innocent victim and kills him. And then the priest takes the blood and spreads it around the base of the altar, which means that atonement is not the major factor here. The major factor is getting right with your brother. And then you make the atonement. It's not like the sin offering. Sin offering, the blood was put on the horns if it was the high priest or if it was all the whole Israel. The blood was put on the horns of the altar of sweet incense in the holy place right before the Holy of Holies. If it was a leader of the nation or a common person, the blood was put on the horns of the altar of sacrifice. But here it's put around the base of the altar. The fifth stage is all the fat's taken off and offered up to God. Now's the sweet smell because he makes atonement with the blood. This is the only element that is a sweet smell before God. The fat is all to be burned. You'll read about that in chapter 7, Leviticus 3 through 5. All the fat belongs to God. Remember? In Leviticus 3, verse 17, he said it is a perpetual statute in all your generations and all your dwellings that ye shall eat neither fat nor blood, because the fat of the animal is the food of God. What is left is the body of the animal. And the disposition of that body, according to Leviticus 7, verse 7, he says, as the sin offering, so is the trespass offering. There is one law for them. The priest that made atonement, he shall have it. And verse 6 says, he'll eat it in a holy place. Eat it in a holy place. The lessons for us. Man can trespass against God in stealing from God that which belongs to God. Don't touch the first fruits. They belong to God. A man can trespass against his fellow man. You can't be right with God until you're right with your brother. And you can't be right with your brother while you still have his money in your pocket. Atonement has to be made. Leave your gift there. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your sacrifice. Jesus. Jesus is our trespass offering as he fulfills all the sacrificial system offerings. 740 years before Christ was born, Isaiah prophesies. And in the servant passages, he comes to the ultimate servant service in chapter 53 of Isaiah. And he says, surely he bore our sins and bare our burdens. Yet we esteemed him, I'm in verse 4. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we were healed. He says in verse 10, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise Him, to put Himself to grief. And when He has made His soul an offering for sin, He shall see His seed and prolong His days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall be exalted in His hand. He'll see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. By the knowledge of Himself, His righteous servant shall justify many and bear their iniquity. Jesus, as Randy said this morning, Jesus does everything for us. Without Jesus, we have nothing. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. Paul says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, and not reckoning unto us our trespasses, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Trespasses are taken care of. God in Christ reconciling the world. He who knew no sin, verse 21, same chapter. God made to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God through Him. Jesus is our sin offering. Do not touch God's first fruits. Do not violate your brother's rights or his property. Love one another. A new commandment give unto you. John 13:34. That you love one another even as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. The Old Testament sacrificial sacrifices have many lessons for us. We haven't spoken of salvation or what brings salvation. But if you are a brother and you have violated or trespassed against a brother, get right with your brother. Confess your sins. Be right with God. Eternity is coming. If you're not a Christian, you haven't even begun to have all the joys and the peace and the rejoicing that's in Christ. Physically, we're all going to die. Are we ready to leave? Jesus said, you'll die in your sins if you believe, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. John 8:24. He says, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Repentance, a change of mind. You leave the wickedness of this world and strive to be just like Jesus. Confess His name. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then you take that dead man that's dead in all of his sins and you bury him. We were buried with Him through baptism unto death. That like as He was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we should walk in newness of life. We get new life when you bury the old man in baptism. He's washed in the blood of Christ and he rises to walk a new life. If we can help you, if you need to come to Christ, come now while we sing.